Good afternoon, Saints. This is Clarissa DiPilato coming to you again from Windsor, Connecticut, on behalf of Seed for the Sower on the Herald of His Kingdom website. Spent a lot of time studying what I want to share about yesterday. I had a wonderful day in the Word, great day in the Word, but it's not a subject I really look forward to discussing, and so I may go down a road of exhortation a little bit to get into the flow of the Spirit. And let's just first pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you recognizing, Lord, that of myself I have no words to say and I can do nothing, Lord, and I am so dependent on you, Lord Jesus, and you know all the reasons why, Lord. You know the things that go on in my life, my home, and you know every situation. And so I thank you this day for your grace, for your amazing grace. And I'm trusting you, Lord, that you would anoint my words, Lord, and that with simplicity I would bring truth to your people, God. I bind all spirits of confusion. I bind all spirits of distraction. I bind all spirits of jealousy coming or going. And, Lord, I especially ask you to protect this word because of the nature of it, because it is a word that deals with discerning, Lord, with distinguishing of spirits and what we listen to, Lord. So I just ask you for your help because I am very much aware of the need for you to cover this word, Lord, and for you to be in my words. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for the joy of the Lord that is my portion daily. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. I want to start out with a little thing that's been rolling around in my spirit, a couple of little exhortations that have been rolling around in my spirit, and may only be one, maybe more than one. As I flow, I'll see what I feel to really share, just in the way of something a little bit amusing. I've been listening to tapes or YouTube videos or sermons that I can find by an old saint of God by the name of Ern Baxter. His name may be familiar to you because I think he may have been one of the brothers who were heavily involved in the shepherdship movement and propelling that message forward. Nevertheless, even though I have my strong departure from that message, he was a great man of God and a true servant of the Lord, and was listening to him. You can find it on YouTube, his message on the eagle. It's a series of messages, and it's quite wonderful. But anyway, one thing he said in that course of that preaching that got a big laugh was how he was kind of poking a little fun at Pentecostal people and how we get the jerks. And I have to say that I've gotten the jerks and jumping and all that kind of thing, and I don't make apologies for it. I really think it was the Lord blessing me. But he said, he made the comment about how the Bible says, out of your innermost being will flow, not jerk. So in Jesus' name, Lord, I just ask you to help me to be in a flow today and not in a jerk. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Sir, we would see Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This is in, you probably recognize that. This is in the book of John, chapter 12, and verse 20 and 21. This is an exhortation. This is not the main message. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Oh, how much I want for people to see Jesus and to hear Jesus and to get a hunger for Jesus and to have their attention on Jesus, and that people would be drawn to Jesus, that a hunger would be developed for him as I minister. And I'm a little disappointed today because that is not the type of word I'm bringing. But I looked up the word sir, What does sir mean? Sir, we would see Jesus. Of course, it's a note of respect. It's a note of acknowledging someone with a little bit of authority and someone with a presence, that an older gentleman perhaps, or just like you would call a teacher or a preacher or someone in the military. You might address them if you didn't know their name, especially you might say, sir, sir. And I looked that up, and that word denotes not only reverence, but it denotes that the person you are addressing is in control, is one to be honored, is one who has authority in the subject matter they're dealing with, that they are a professional, or they are a what's the word I want? They're an authority on a subject. And these Greeks, when you think of Greeks, you think of people with knowledge, you think of people who are intelligent, you think of the brainier side of the canvas when it comes to people who were mentioned in the word or different people groups in the word. And they came to Philip and they acknowledged they had something in them that recognized that this was one to go to who would lead them and help them to see Jesus. And maybe I should have looked up the word see too, but I didn't. Sir, we would see Jesus. Sir, we know that you're one who has knowledge of him, and so we're coming to you to ask you to lead us to Jesus, to bring us to him. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And this word that I have today is not so much that type of a word, like I said, but my heart beats that God's people would perceive me and see me as one who can lead you to Jesus, who can bring you to a true sound of a pure spirit, of a pure stream, of a pure flow of God, that can lead you to hunger, that can lead you to living water, and to the bread of heaven, which Jesus is, the bread of life. I want to be in that category. That's my desire. I don't desire to make money off the ministry. I don't desire to have a big church. I just desire for whoever God has for me to speak to and minister to. And I've been asking the Lord, Lord, who is my audience? And who would I want to be my audience? Do I want to have a ministry to women? Do I want to have a ministry in a youth department? Do I want to be a senior pastor of a large church? Do I want to be some big fish in some little pond somewhere where they're struggling, and maybe I can bring some life? And asking the Lord all these things, and I feel that for today, and I seem like I get different answers to this at different times, but for today, I want to be able to bring truth to those who are hungry to hear. And I want to be able to bring truth to those who do not want to take any chances with their soul. If you don't want to take any chances with your soul, if you don't want to be slipshod about your experience, if you don't want to be one who feels like you can just fall back and rest on past experiences and past blessings and past manifestations and past meetings with the Lord that you've had either by yourself or in the congregation of the righteous, if you don't want to just settle back, but you want to move forward in the purposes of God, and you want to be cautious, and you want to understand the times that you're living in, I pray that God anoints me to bring a word to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I was listening to a sister last night, and I'm not going to name names, but she had such an overflowing well, and she was ministering out of a deep walk with the Lord, very deep walk with the Lord. This is exhortation number two. She's ministering out of a very deep walk with the Lord, talking a lot about the Lord's coming. Well, on the subject of the coming of the Lord, the second coming of the Lord, intrigued by her spirit and by her delivery and by how whatever she said, she was always coming back to how the Lord is coming soon. Now, this was a ministry back in the 90s. I think it was in the 90s that she was ministering. And it all kept coming back to the second coming of the Lord and to be ready and to be watchful. And I was raised in that kind of a doctrine. I was raised very much in a pre-trib experience in the Assembly of God Church. And the Lord led us in ways that caused us to loosen our grip on that and to begin to embrace a post-trib message, a post-tribulation message. And as I listened to that woman and I thought of my years of being very much wedded to the post-trib message, I listened to that woman ministering out of such a flow and out of such a power of God, and it really made me question, Lord, have we been wrong to go down this other road of this post-trib message instead of the pre-trib message? And I have to tell you something that the Spirit, this brought back to the fore, something that the Spirit has been making very real to me. It didn't just come last night, but last night was a refresher in it. And it's that don't ever, ever, ever disfellowship a brother or a sister in the Lord based on their eschatology. I think I've done that. And I'm sorry I've done that because I'm hearing something from the pre-tribbers that is so immersed in a glory and so immersed in the presence of the Lord that, boy, I'm having to do some rethinking. But the reason that I'm telling you is never, ever, ever to disfellowship a brother or sister based on their eschatology is because it is not an essential in the Word of God. Eschatology, knowing when Jesus is coming, being able to place him in the exact time, or being able to say it's pre-trib or post-trib or mid-trib, is not an essential. It's not an essential doctrine, and therefore you should never decide that you're going to depart fellowship from someone based on that. Not sure who coined that famous phrase that many churches even place on their bulletins, but it says, "In things essential, unity; in things non-essential, liberty; and in things, in all things, charity." So we always show the love of God. But if you judge them, and how I know this is, all I have to do is read Hebrews 6, verse 1, and I'm putting it in my Bible Gateway right now so that I don't misquote it. "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection." And here are the things that we need to know that we know that we know. These are the foundations. Eschatology is not a foundation stone. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. Nothing in there about the second coming or when the Lord's coming back. So don't disfellowship people over their stance on eschatology. Another thing I'm noticing here, that we shouldn't disfellowship on, nothing in here about the Godhead, whether God is a Trinity or whether he's a triunity or whether he's three in one or the three are one. There's no clear word here that you have to be clear on an understanding of the Godhead. And I think somewhere the Bible even calls the Godhead a mystery that will be unfolding through eternity. Our understanding of the Godhead will even be unfolding through eternity. I read a scripture last night that I'm not going to even share, but it so rocked me. It so just shook me up on a doctrine I've embraced that I had to just close my Bible and get in the presence of the Lord and say, help, Lord. Help, Lord. Wasn't one of the essentials, though. Thank you, Jesus, for that. But it's important that we not break fellowship and unity over non-essentials. So, hallelujah. Now, getting on to something that I feel, and I promised I wouldn't even be sharing this if I hadn't mentioned that I would be sharing about it. But I want to talk about our being transformed. And I talked about it recently, about how we, when we submit ourselves to being transformed, being renewed in our minds, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That scripture in Romans 12, not going to go back over that because I pretty much went over that in a recent message. But I had alluded to the fact that I would share a little bit about the other kind of transformation, and it's when Satan was transformed into an angel of light. And when people are transformed into apostles of Christ, or who are transforming themselves, false apostles and deceitful workers who transform themselves into apostles of Christ, and these are the false workers, and I'm going to just read some scriptures. And I'm just going to read through these scriptures, and then I am going to make some points, going to read a Bible story. And this might be a little bit laborious, and I don't expect it to be the least bit exciting. But the reason I share is not so you can feel like you've got to be on a heretic hunt, or like you've always got to be given the evil eye, looking who's in the atmosphere, who might not be quite right, or might not be in the spirit that you'd like to see them in. But because I've said it again and again, I believe that the Lord wants us to guard our own souls. He wants us to steward our souls, and He wants us to guard our hearts, and we guard our hearts by knowing the truth and being diligent unto the truth. And so this is just going to help to give a little bit of understanding. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father God, I know that this is long and tedious, so I pray that there would be some measure of oil flowing through all that I'm going to say, that the poor people of God don't just get totally worn out before I'm even through. But it's a message that we need to have in these times we're living in. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, I'm reading from 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 through 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostle of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And then I just took the scriptures that these verses had in the little following strip of scriptures that add to this or are referenced to. And we'll go to Acts 15:24. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, ye must be circumcised, and to keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. Acts 15:24. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the heart of the simple. Now, I'm going to tell you what words I emboldened to make them stand out, because they were speaking to me. And hear what the Spirit is saying as you listen. Sometimes you don't even have to preach. You just have to read the Word and let the Word come alive in your own spirit without a lot of accompanying clatter and clamor over them. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from among us have, here's the bold part, troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying, ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we give no such commandments. Now, I'm going to go to the next one. That was Acts 15:24. When you hear my tone of my voice change a little bit, you're going to know I'm highlighting the words that I made in bold, used the bold font. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Romans 16:18. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ, into another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That's Galatians 1:6-8. Here's another. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to have affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Philippians 1:15-17. Now we're on 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift judgment or destruction, And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. I know thy works. That's 2 Peter 2:1-3. Very important scripture. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Beware of dogs, and that's Revelation 2:2. And then this one, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Philippians 3:2-3. I didn't embolden anything, but for some reason I added that in. Now this is the last one, and then we're going to go to our Bible story. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Did you notice in every place that I highlighted where my voice was raised, it had to do with something of our voice, of speaking or saying or preaching? Words. It all had to do with the words that are spoken. All had to do with words. Now let's go to the Bible story. And then, by God's grace, I'll get into a little bit of an exhortation on this. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time, and we are reading it in Acts chapter 8, starting at verse 9, going to verse 24. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John,
who, when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. I'm going to give you 3 points regarding evil transformations. The first one is that it starts with an inner corrupt root that has not been truly repented of. That's why repentance is so important at our initial born-again experience. Notice that Simon believed, but it does not say he repented. I'm believing more than ever that repentance is not an option. It's an absolute command. When you come to the Lord Jesus and when you make a decision toward him, there needs to be a thorough work of repentance, because if there's not, if there's still that root, that's something the enemy can build on. There was a root in Simon that the devil could have built on. We don't know what happened at the end of the story. We know that he had a mixed motive. He had a false motive. He wanted to get those gifts. He wanted the working of the Spirit so he could profit by them. He was very popular in his day. He was very, very liked, and he had he made money off of the arts and off of magic, and he used sorceries. He bewitched people, which means he got them totally enthralled and looking at him and enamored with him. He was able to do all those things so that he could have a measure of control in their lives and do things that would get their money. And he had all these things going for him. And then someone else came along who was drawing the attention away from himself unto another, which was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he just cared about the image, and he just cared that he would be able to have this, what he saw. He wanted to take advantage of what he saw that the apostles had, because he saw it was a crowd drawer. It was a crowd pleaser. And so there was that root in him. There was that root that harkened back to his old life, that root of misusing people and taking advantage and getting money for filthy lucre's sake. He had that root in him. And that root wanted to just latch around to this new thing. And sometimes that's where counterfeit spirits come from and deceiving spirits come from, because there's a root in a person that has not been truly repented of, that causes them to feel that they can use the past to bring glory to the self. Now, I've known some men of God who in the past were very gifted musicians. The Lord put the gift of music in their life, and before they knew Jesus, they were very popular, and they had the girls running after them, and they drew the big crowds, and they could fill a stadium or at least a high school auditorium, and they had the attention of people, and their music gift was used to bring attention to the self. And these very same men, when they came to Jesus, the ones who had a true repentance experience actually had a period of time where they laid those things aside. They laid it aside to make sure that the thing within that wanted to bring glory to the self was crucified. They laid it down. They wouldn't even so much as allow themselves to be called upon to sing a song on a Sunday morning, or to play a horn, or to play a guitar. They just laid it down, some for a period of years. Others took advantage of that that gift to build up their ministry, but there was confusion in that it was not only building up a ministry, it was not only drawing crowds and people say, oh, well, you know, the Lord's using it to draw people, it's okay. Well, thank you, Jesus, for every soul that gets saved, because the Bible says his word will not return to him void. But I saw some of them not only use the gift, but also their lives were somewhat shipwrecked by bringing forth something of a mixture out of their own spirits. And counterfeit spirits love to work with anything in our souls that wants glory for ourselves. Anything in us that wants the recognition, that doesn't want to give all the glory to Jesus, a counterfeit spirit will come. Whenever the Bible says that witchcraft is a work of the flesh. It's not the work of a demon, it's the work of the flesh. But whenever you engage in carnality, in a work of the flesh, you can believe that you are in agreement with the enemy. You are in agreement with the enemy of your soul, and he will be there in two shakes flat. Now, this is the difference between those who are transformed by his glory, transformed in order that they might be conformed to the image of Christ. It's a yielding to the Lord. It's a yielding to him. He's the one who's doing the work. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The one who's being transformed by God is often in a posture of submission and yielding to the Lord. Just like I gave that example about when you're having your loins girt about with truth, it's the same ideas like when you're having your hair done. You have to go to the beauty parlor. You have to get in those places where somebody else is doing the work. And when you're renewing your mind and having your mind renewed, it often means submitting to another. It means submitting first to the Lord, but to all the processes of God. And that's the difference. Someone who is transformed into a false minister or a false prophet, a false apostle, there is a point where there is an agreement with the self more than an agreement with God. And you got to get this in your spirit, because a lot of people are fearful. You don't need to be fearful if you're yielding to the Lord. You don't need to be fearful that some strange doctrine or strange spirit, foreign counterfeit spirit, can just come in and take you away and take your soul away and bring you into deception. The only way such a thing is happening is if you make a decision to transform yourself. They were transforming themselves. They weren't being transformed. They were transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. False apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves. And it's no marvel, because even the devil is, Satan is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness. A true repentance experience at the beginning of your walk with the Lord will be the safest safeguard that you can raise up against such a thing. Now that's what, let me get back down here. It starts with an inner corrupt root that has not been truly repented of. That is why repentance is so important At our initial born-again experience, notice that Simon believed, but it does not say he repented. Just think, what would have happened if Peter didn't have any discernment to see what spirit that man was of, and he said, "Praise God, sure, brother, I'm more than happy to lay hands on you and pray that you get these gifts to be used." He saw the evil that was in this man's heart. He saw the part that in him that was still unclean, and he stopped it. And at the end of the passage, we see that Simon prayed that none of these evil things came upon him. And I pray someday we'll learn in eternity if he really had a meeting with the Lord and really cleaned up his act. And I just discussed this one. Evil transformation is always a result of willful decisions and never excuses the personal responsibility one has in these matters. One has to make a concerted decision to agree with the devil's plan to be used as an angel of light. If someone's being misused or being used of the enemy rather than being used of God, somewhere along the line, decisions were made. Decisions were made not to embrace the cross. Decisions were made to follow on in a self-willed agenda. Decisions were made, and sometimes there's a root of bitterness. Peter perceived that Simon was in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity, I think was what the scripture said. He said, yeah, a gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. That's what Peter perceived about Simon. You're going to be used as an angel of light. You're going to be used by the devil's kingdom. You got to make a concerted decision. That doesn't just come like some haze or fog over you. And someday you wake up and you say, oh, wow. Wow, I'm glad I came and I saw the light. I was so deceived. No, you're not in some drug-infested stupor. You made a decision. You make a decision. You make a decision that takes you down the willful path that opens you up to counterfeit spirits. If you embrace what the Lord is doing in your life, you embrace the conviction of the Lord, you embrace what His Word is saying for true, and you embrace the message of repentance, you will not be a candidate for deceiving spirits. And then the third thing I have here is a main catalyst, maybe not always, but most often, is there's a love of money or selfish ambition. A couple of these scriptures that I read talk about, let's just read this one again, Titus 1, 10 through 11. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses. What does subvert mean? It means that you're actually packed up and taken away. You are literally, it's like you are packed up and you are taken away. Look up the word subvert and you'll know I'm telling you the truth. I'm hearing messages of subversion now. Messages that people are just getting taken away with. Mostly because they're just weary and tired. Weary and tired of working out their salvation in fear and trembling. They'd rather hear something that's just an easy pass. And I'm telling you, watch out for your soul. Don't take any chances with your soul. Don't buy into a message that makes you think everything's going to be easy. We've got a strength to go through everything hard. It's called the joy of the Lord. We have a strength. We don't need to have things easy. We are a strong people. Thank you, Lord. For there are many ruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not. And why are they teaching them? for filthy lucre's sake, so they can make money. Now, I'm not going to name any names, but I heard a preacher who was preaching the truth. He was solidly preaching a true message of holiness and repentance, of getting your life right with God, guarding your walk, walking circumspectly, being watchful for your soul. 2 weeks later, I heard him preaching this strange new doctrine that you can live any old way you want and it doesn't matter because it's all under the blood of Jesus anyway. You don't have to barely even acknowledge it if you make a mistake because your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your blood. I absolutely believe in the grace of God, but I don't believe we can be careless with our walk. I don't believe that we can just sin willfully and think there's not going to be consequences. I don't believe that we can go in and out of sin and think that God is going to forever turn a blind eye to it. God will deal. God will chastise. God will get you in the place where you're on your face and you're crying out to him and you're saying, God Almighty, please forgive me. Let your blood cover me once again. You would not need, Jesus would not have provided, the God, our Heavenly Father, would not have provided an advocate if we were not going to need him. The book of 1 John, where it says that if we sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Beloved, if any man sins, we know that he has an advocate with the Father. And we can go to him. We can go to that advocate. And we can plead our case with him. We can cry out to mercy. And he will forgive us. And he will restore us to fellowship. That was not talking to sinners. That was talking to saints. That's a word to God's people. We are his people and we need an advocate because we stumble and fall and we need to know that we can go to him and we need to go like David went, like Psalm 51. We need to go in a Psalm 51 spirit and just read it to see how deep his repentance was. Deep repentance. Thank you, Lord Jesus, and staying in that place will keep you from being a target and open. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're talking about now I about how the catalyst is often the love of money or selfish ambition. These are things that will open you up to being used as a false teacher, a false prophet, or even a false Christ. 2 Peter 2, verse 3. And through covetousness, what does covetousness means? When you covet something, it means that you're jealous of other people's things and you have a desire, an inordinate desire for things. It's like jealousy and greed all wrapped up into one ugly package, manifests itself horribly. If you've ever seen anybody who manifests the spirit of covetousness, you have seen one dog ugly spirit. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words. What does feigned means? It means feigned means faking. Like she feigned sickness so she wouldn't have to go to school. She faked sickness so she wouldn't have to go to school. I can remember when I was a little girl, I saw a movie where some child put their head on a light bulb so they would feel like they had a fever when their mother came into the room. And I tried it and it worked. I didn't want to go to school one day. So it wasn't a light bulb, but it was the heater in my room. One of those old radiators, and I went and laid my head on the radiator and got my head nice and warm and then got back in bed. Oh, Mommy, I don't feel well. I can't go to school today. And Mother came into the room, felt my head, and she was convinced, can't send this girl to school. She's sick. So that I was feigning. So with feigned words, things they make up with made-up stories. They will make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. They are going to be judged. Anyone misusing the truth to get money, to get fame, to get fortune, there is a judgment awaiting. But that's what is perpetuating and drawing them into this lifestyle of being used of the enemy to be a false apostle or a false Christ. Now, there's a whole lot of ministers that I really am blessed with that are rolling in the gold and the glory, as they say. Rolling in it, just wallowing in the gold and the glory. But yet, when they speak, just the words are so convincing. Heard someone just recently, they told this story, and I had to stop and say, now, Lord, is this a true story? Is this feigned words so they can make merchandise of the people of God? I'm guarding my heart from two sides. I'm careful because I don't want to come against the Lord's anointed, and I don't know the full backdrop, and I don't know if perhaps they have been so sold out to God that the Lord has truly raised them up and blessed them, and they're a voice. And now for all their sorrow and all their embracing the cross and all that they were willing at one time to suffer and to endure and to go with lack, and now it's their day of blessing, I'm not going to touch it. Not going to touch it, because I believe God does bless people. And I do believe it can even be in material blessings. But on the other hand, I don't want to go down that road wrongly. I don't want to go down that road and embrace something that I see so clearly in the scripture is a pitfall and is a danger zone. Don't want to go down this road. I don't want to let any covetousness or love of money or love of fame cause me to be an open canvas for a spirit of deception, and especially at not only to be deceived, but to be a deceiver. Let's see if there's any other ones that... Well, all of these verses that I read, I'm not going to go back and read all of them, but I'm just looking in it. And seeing how words are used to deceive the people of God, and pretty words and words that sound fair speeches, you got to watch out for those things, because they could be carrying something that's drawing you away from Christ, drawing you away from the Lord Jesus. Sir, we would see Jesus drawing you away. Now, I have in my notes here what I call the supernatural aspect. And we're talking about the supernatural as in lying signs and wonders. I just want to read these scriptures and see if there's anything that the Lord wants me to comment as I'm going. And this should wrap this up. Then, and then we're reading from Matthew 24, 23 through 28. And this is a time in history. This is a time in our lives that we ought to be reading Matthew 24 a lot and getting it in our spirits, what it has to say. It's just so full. Every single word of this scripture is something that will minister to us, will encourage us, strengthen us, guard us, help us to watch out for our souls, and just gives a lot of light on the time we're living in. I've got to get a drink of my water. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and they shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before, wherefore if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. You know, when I read those words, I think of how cunning the enemy really is. A desert is a lonely place. A desert is an isolated place. You know, religion will want you to be isolated and separated and lonely. You can get a monastic spirit on you. You can get a spirit on you that's making you think that the pious thing to do is to always be drawing away, always to be lonely, always to be separated. Jesus separated himself, but he came right back down to the people. He separated himself at seasons to meet with his Father. I don't know if it was 8 days or hours, but he separated himself. We can read about scriptures like that. But if you have a spirit on you that's feeling you always need to be separating yourself so that you're out of the flow of fellowship, so that you're isolated, check that voice, because it might not be the Lord. I had the Lord have to speak to me about this. I was trying to live a monastic life in the midst of my busy family, and the Spirit spoke to me and said, "Wait a minute, girl. You're not living in Bible school anymore. You're not living a life where you're cloistered. You're not a nun. You're a mother. You're a housewife. You've got a home to take care of. You've got grandchildren to help with. You've got floors to scrub, bathrooms to clean. You've got stuff to put away. You've got a basement cluttered to clean out. You got all sorts of things to do. You better know me in the context of where you live. You're not in the desert. So don't think you are, and don't put yourself there. And don't let some religious spirit make you feel if you're not living that monastic life, you're not meeting God. Because I'll tell you right now, if you have to meet him in your dreams, in your sleep, you love God, he will meet with you. He will make his appointments with you. He will show you the times of day that you're to sanctify and separate unto him. Maybe in the late night hours, maybe in the early morning hours. But don't let things rot around you and fall around you because some fake spirit, some religious spirit is telling you that you got to be a monk in a monastery in order to have a ministry and meet God and minister effectively to God's people, because it's just not true. I've had the greatest anointing come on me to receive from the Lord when I've been scrubbing my kitchen floor. That's the honest truth. That's the honest truth. Now, I'm not against those times where we come aside and I can't get enough of them, but I'm just talking about a spirit that can be nipping in your ear, telling you that you've got to be living a different life from the place where God, the context where God put you. In your own context, if you're called of God to the work of the ministry, God will speak to you. He'll make himself real to you. He'll fill your cup up. He will fill your cup up. And you don't need to run out to the fields and to the mountains to try to get away. For years I was tormented with that kind of thing, like, oh, I gotta get away, I gotta get away, I gotta get away, gotta get away to go meet the Lord, I gotta go to a retreat, I gotta go here, I gotta go there. No, 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 I don't. Jesus is right here in my own home. He uses my family. He speaks to me through my grandchildren. He's all around me. He's in the air. I feel him here. He's everywhere. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Recognize God in your atmosphere. He's there. You don't need to get away. You just need to open your spirit and cause you to see where he is, even in your home, even when he's speaking through other members of your family. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Wherefore, if they say unto you, believe he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And, of course, we're thinking of the mighty second coming of the Lord, but that's how God can come. He will not miss you. Wherever you are, it's like lightning. When lightning strikes or that flash comes across the sky, You can see that bright light everywhere. You can't miss it. And you will not miss the Lord when he is truly coming. There's not just going to be these little secret appearings for a select few. Not going to happen like that. And if they are happen, I question their veracity. I just question their veracity because Jesus said, whosoever will may come. His message is to whosoever will. Message is to whosoever will. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And I've prayed about that scripture, and I'll tell you what I think it means, and I may be way off. I'm not a Bible scholar, but you know, of course, a carcass is a dead animal or something that's dead. There will the eagles be gathered together. The eagle saints have an ear tuned to know where there has been a ministry that's coming forth because there has been death to the self-life. There's been a death. There's a carcass. And they come together because there's something there of food for them. There's a feeding there where if you have died to yourself, if you're dying, and it's a process, I know, we often think that we've arrived and we have died to ourselves and there's nothing more the Lord could do in me. Oh, my Lord, God's killed me a million times and he's still killing me some more. But where there is a death to the self, there is a true feeding and the eagles will gather together. Some people like to pretend they've died. Some people preachers can make believe. They like to copy the sound. They hear a preacher who really has died to himself. They hear somebody who's really, really made the sacrifices and they pick up the intonation. They pick up the sound of how they pray, how they prophesy. They get it down pat. And then they go out and they try to, they parrot it. And for those who are not true eagles, they'll buy it. I mean, they'll think they're sitting in the greatest meeting ever. But the true eagle saints have ears to hear. They will be where the carcass is, wheresoever the carcass is. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to another famous end time scripture. 2 Thessalonians 2, 7 through 12. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Being saved, we've talked about this before, the saving of our souls, the ongoing work of being washed by the water of the Word, yielding to the Spirit of God, that our souls might be saved. We're born again, that initial born again experience. And it's very popular to say we're saved by grace, and people just take that as the initial experience, but saved being saved is something that's ongoing. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. You know what receiving the love of the truth does? It saves us. When we receive the love of the truth, we are in the process of being saved, and we need to keep receiving it, especially in this time. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. What's delusion? Delusion is mixture. Delusion is mixture, and that's why we're in a time where the spiritual surgeons are so necessary, because we have to know how to cut out that which is the untrue part so that we can leave the truth, so that we can still embrace the truth. And we find that that's true in so many areas. It's not only true with how we approach the Word of God, but even our experiences, because a lot of us have experiences that are mixture. Experiences with people in the body of Christ that are mixture. There's the good and there's the bad. There's the blessing and there's the cursing. And we need to know how to excise out those things that are wrong and yield them up to the Lord and pray and put them under the blood of Jesus, that we can be pure in our spirits, that we not be affected by the bad parts. You know that there are those you have to honor, but at the same time, there might be something you need to reject. God help us. We're so in need of the Lord's wisdom in this hour. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. When you yield yourself, when you haven't fully repented, you can transform yourself to a false prophet. You do it yourself. You transform yourself by not embracing the truth. It's on your shoulders. You transform yourself. It starts in your flesh, and it's no time till the fowls and the birds of the air are flying over your head and entering into your spirit. You've opened yourself up to demonic activity, and it will be oh so religious till you are even deceived yourself. And then when those religious spirits embrace you and get inside you and get all around you and hug you and come up close to you, they can put such a spirit on you that you are a deceiver, and you are deceived. And it gets to the point when it's really gone to seed is when you can start working miracles by the false spirits and the counterfeit spirits. And believe me, there are plenty. And I don't have either the authority or the courage right now to call them out. I don't have it. But I pray that you can recognize it. Embrace the old paths. Embrace the sound of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Embrace sound doctrine. Cry for it. Embrace it. Hug it. Hold it to your being. Allow the Lord to work deeply in your life. In Jesus' name, that you're just not going to have any part of it, that you can get up and walk out of a meeting when you see it at work. I'm still here. I'm just thinking about my own soul and my own self. How much I want to be guarded. If I would have to give up every ambition and desire I have to keep a pure spirit in this last day, there is nothing to be treasured more than to have a pure spirit before the Lord. I don't need to be in the mainstream, and I don't want to be in the mean stream either, for that matter. But if everything has to shut down in my life in order for me to guard my family and guard my spirit against the spirit, the counterfeit spirits that are rampant in this country right now, I just ask for God's grace to do it. I want God's grace to shut down. If what's flowing through me can't be a word of true warning that comes from a heart of truly loving God's people and wanting his people on the right track and wanting us to have a single focused eye on the Lord Jesus Christ, sir, we would see Jesus. If that's not flowing through me, if that is not coming through my spirit when I minister, oh, Lord Jesus, shut me down. I pray it out loud, And I pray from the depths of my being, because I fear the living God. And I know that what is going on in our country of counterfeit spirits and false doctrine and embracing things that are just so catering to our flesh, when we need to crucify it and not cater to it, Lord, help us. Jesus, just help us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, I think that message was probably not something that's going to cause a whole lot of people to want to get saved, but you know that I don't ever close one of these sessions without letting people know that Jesus loves you, he cares, and he wants you in his camp, he wants you in his fold, he wants you in the arms of his embrace and his protection. He doesn't want you to be a target. He doesn't want you to be exploited. He doesn't want you to be misused by people who are misusing the gifts and the callings of God. The people who are taking things that could legitimately be gifts of God and just using them for filthy lucre's sake or to make themselves famous. That's not Jesus. Jesus wants to draw you into his fold of protection and love and mercy and grace. He wants to forgive you of your sins. He wants you to be the good seed. He wants you to be the good tree. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So just pray after me. If your heart wants to be in the fold, if you want to be in his family, in his true family, in the people who are truly looking unto him, the author and finisher of their faith, if you want to be in that fold, just follow me in prayer, or listen to my prayer and then take it into your bosom and pray yourself when you can get a little alone time with Jesus. Get a little private time. There's a siren that's going off in my neighborhood. Let's just let that pass. Lord, whatever that is, we just pray for safety. We pray for healing and we pray for the protection of people's property in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh my goodness, going right up to my neighbor's house. Boy, if that's not a prophetic picture. Fire engine is coming, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I come to you right now knowing that I need you, that I need a Savior, Lord. I thank you for all your blessings and benefits because I have embraced the cross of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray, Father, right now that you would help me, that you would give me grace to repent of my sins. I pray that anything that I need to acknowledge in the way of actually calling it by name, any sin in my life, that you would show me what it is that I can call it by name and I can repent of it out loud in your presence, Lord. Father, I want to be in your fold. I want to be in your household of faith. So right now, I'm acknowledging that I am a sinner and that I need your salvation. And Father, I acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. And Father, I confess my sins and I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. And I confess him as my Savior. And I yield myself to the Lord Jesus Christ right now. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life, to wash me and cleanse me, and make me a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you would lead me in paths of righteousness, and I pray that you would lead me to the sound of fellowship and to the sound of your word, Lord. Lead me to true fellowship, to people who truly love you, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray. Lord, let me be embraced in the body of Christ. Lord, let me find my comfort in the body of Christ. Let me find my home in the midst of your people. And Father, just lead me in a very plain path this day. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.